Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Beautiful day in Los Angeles. It's the holiday season, Jordan. I don't know if you knew that.
I could feel something in the air, and I was wondering what it was.
Oh, it's allspice.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. And related to that, it's the holiday season.
A little bit of clove.
Oh, okay.
And some clove cigarettes. I've been smoking clove cigarettes.
Oh, are you turning goth?
Yeah, I'm turning goth in 1997.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Yeah, so I've been listening to a lot of Skinny Puppy.
You don't look goth, but I mean, are you just kind of starting with the accoutrements?
You know, it's the weekend.
Mm.
So Monday, I'm a Monday through Friday goth.
Okay.
Have you heard about that? Workaday goth?
No, I've not heard about workaday goth.
Yeah. So Monday through Friday, I think a lot about death, wear the eyeliner, wear all black.
Sure.
I've got a sort of like a fright wig, sort of like I'm in the Smiths or whatever. The Cure.
Yeah.
I should say. And it's really cool. I mean, it's really given me a whole new perspective about... sort of the relationship between living and dying, you know? Like, I used to fear death, but now I see the beauty in it.
Yeah, would you say you exist in a space between?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
And
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday.
You exist in a world between living and death.
Right. And then on the weekends, it's more of like a millennium kind of thing. So it's like Miami.
Sure, white linen.
Parties, white linen.
Yeah.
I kind of let it all hang out. I'd smoke a Cubano. You know, I get on DJ Khaled's jet ski and head over to Rick Ross's house. That kind of thing.
Well, this sounds like an amazing lifestyle.
It is. It's great because it's, you know what I call it? The best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I named it after the Jay-Z R. Kelly album.
Well, terrific.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now you're in, we record these on the weekend, so now you're in Miami mode.
Right, exactly. So that's why, if you're wondering why I was wearing a guayabera, it's because I'm in Miami mode. I'm also having this virgin mojito.
Is that why Pitbull is also here?
Yeah, Pitbull is here too. And I have asked Pitbull not to talk.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree he's a great musician,
sure.
A gifted musician.
Sure.
One of the best rappers in the world.
Of course. No argument here.
He's gorgeous to look at. He's a very handsome man.
Funny, too, when asked to do a little comedy.
Yeah, but I don't want to hear him. I don't want to hear his opinions.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anyone wants. So I said, Pitbull, yes, you can come. No, please don't go on mic. Our guest this week is big-time Gene O'Neill.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? We have priorities here.
Sure.
Our friend Gene from college is coming in. And we need you to go over there. And actually, what was nice is Gloria Estefan was already coming in this week.
That's good.
So they can go over there, talk about, you know, Miami stuff, Sound Machines.
Sure.
The whole
plantains.
Nine yards. Yeah, sure.
Are we racist against Miami?
I don't know. There was that one time that I went to Miami and then I talked about how I saw that dead dog.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
It's just a cock walking on top of a dead dog's carcass on the street in Miami.
Well, it's a good thing we don't have any listeners in Miami because they're too busy shaking their butts to listen to podcasts.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because if you – there's no
– pushing up the sleeves of their sport coats.
Mm-hmm. Because if you – I mean, there's nowhere to put – I mean, if you have earbuds in and you shake your butt at a, you know, certain level.
Right.
They're just going to – you're going to shake them right out.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the degree to which people in Miami are constantly shaking their butts makes it impossible to listen to a podcast.
Yeah. I think that's true.
So I think we're safe making fun of it is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you clarified that for us.
No problem.
Should we bring Gene into the mix here?
I'd love to.
You know him as the one-time co-host of The Sound of Young America with me and Jordan, as one of Jordan Jesse Go's most beloved regular guests on the show. He's a holiday favorite, certainly. Screenwriter, entertainment worker, big time Gene O'Neill.
Hey, thanks guys for welcoming me to your Miami Beach dreamscape.
You're welcome, Gene.
We're calling it Miami from now on. So
have a smoothie.
Yeah.
It's got guayaba.
Mmm, it's tasty.
Tropical smoothie. How are you, Gene?
Yeah, you know.
Sure.
About as good as I could be.
Yeah, sure, Gene. Well, you're here with us, huh?
Yeah.
Got on a nice shirt. It's got some, is that snowflakes?
No, it kind of sort of bespeaks winter
a
little bit.
Yeah, it suggests a certain crisp air.
Yeah, it's like an L.A. sort of, I think, festive, winter festive shirt.
Or in this case, a Miami winter festive
shirt. Or in this case, Miami. Sorry, I forgot. We're recording from Miami.
Yeah, from Will Smith's house.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could all agree that Miami is the L.A. of the East.
I'm sorry, Miami?
Oh, yeah. What did I say?
I couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Let me say that again. Maybe
the mic
cut out. It
sounded like a series of noises.
We all know Miami is the L.A. of the East.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you guys had to do any holiday gift giving yet? Have you guys had to do like a Secret Santa, White Elephant, Yankee Swap, anything like that?
So specifically gift games?
Yeah, yeah.
Complex systems of gift giving if we had to...
Yeah, a gift giving that include, yeah, that has some sort of game or secret element to it.
Have you had to give any Kwanzaa gifts that reaffirm the values of community?
Was that a crazy question of me to ask? This is the time of year when people are doing
gift
giving
type stuff. In the office, in a large family. I'm a part of a Secret Santa in my wife's family.
Okay.
And the big news this year is that the gift limit has been raised to $50.
Oh shit!
What was the impetus for that? Is everybody just doing a little better this year?
Well, we all realize that we're all adults now, and we realize that the whole point of doing a Secret Santa is so that you can get a nice gift, like that. You're rather than buying seven terrible gifts, you can buy one nice gift for one person.
It's not to give a nice gift; it's to receive a nice gift.
That's what the holidays are all about, Gene.
Right. And so
have you seen the great Christmas films such as
Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps? That's where I get my Christmas values from.
Yeah.
I'm still at the $20 maximum. I feel like the $50 is a little hoity-toity.
What's good at $20?
A gift card. A nice gift card.
To what?
Oh, anywhere. Target.
Because here's the thing. Mm-hmm. So my wife's mother's family, my mother-in-law's family, is a large Catholic family who all live in the same place. Mm-hmm. So
they all live in one house.
They all live in one house. No, they all live in Marin County. And they all, you know, it's like my mother-in-law has like six siblings or something like that. And each of them has a number of kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that they're not using birth control, but they're respecting the cultural values of Catholicism, which is to be fruitful and multiply.
Sure.
And so
nobody's yanking it out is what you're saying.
Right. And so they have this.
As the Pope once said, thou shalt not yank it out.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
Finish inside.
And so. So they used to have a Christmas party with like
the Pope makes commandments, right?
Yeah.
Am I right about that? I don't know a lot about Catholicism.
Yeah, that's how it works since Vatican II.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have a Christmas party every year with like 50 people.
Vatican II, money never sleeps.
And everyone everyone would get a gift from my wife's grandparents, including like me.
That sounds great.
Like I would see my wife's grandparents once every year at this Christmas party, and I would get a Christmas gift from them. And what I would usually get is a $15 Macy's gift card, which is the most frustrating gift to receive in the world.
Right, because
it's not enough to buy anything at Macy's.
It needs to be $20.
It needs to be 20. But even if it was 20, what could I buy?
Yeah, I guess you could buy
one pair of underpants.
Yeah, I guess
cost
you
23.
Could do a pack of socks and then half of a pack of underwear.
Yeah, a pack of socks. That's all you can get at Macy's for $20, for $15 or $20. And the thing is like it's not even like they're good socks. I mean, it's like Macy's, you know, like they're fine.
I guess they're assuming that maybe you're making a big purchase at Macy's and wanting $15 to apply toward that.
I would love a pack of socks. Personally, like
really?
Right now. I mean, the socks I'm wearing, I think I bought like 6 years ago.
Yeah,
so.
Those socks are a little rough. Yeah. Treat yourself to some Costco socks, Gene.
You have to have a Costco membership for that.
You don't have one? You don't have a buddy with a Costco membership that can slide you in?
No, all my
holler at your boy.
Okay.
I was just down at the Costco buying some tires the other day.
It's been years since I've been to the
got
Costco.
A full set, four wheels.
How are the samples?
Samples continue to be nice. You know, the big downside is these days you can't return electronics to Costco forever, which you used to be able to do. Costco has a permanent return policy.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You can always
they got rid of that?
Yeah. It used to be that people would just buy a TV there and then return it 5 years later and buy a new TV because TVs get cheaper and cheaper.
Wait, yeah. Wait. So is my TV that I bought from Costco like 3 years ago, is that grandfathered in?
I don't know. You might still be able to return
that. What if
that?
I buy some food there and I just go back to Costco and say I didn't like it?
Yeah, you can return that. They're going to ask you to, you know, they'll give you a sick bag or whatever. And
they're going to make you shit in a bag.
Yeah, they want to see the remnants of the food.
But yeah, that's the main difference between Costco then and now. But it's still a pretty enjoyable experience. You're going to get those rotisserie chickens.
Sure.
You're going to get a lot of tissues. You're going to get plenty of toilet paper.
The desperation of people who will wait like 5 minutes at a free sample stand.
Yeah, bag of pineapples.
Or a bite of a bagel dog.
Yeah.
Get yourself a bag of pineapples.
Yeah. So what do you want to, I mean, obviously this is a secret Santa thing that you're involved in right now, but have you made a decision? What's going on right now with it?
Yeah. So, there's been a lot of excitement on this front. Mm-hmm. So my mother-in-law is a wonderful woman who, an extension of her Catholic cultural background, is self-denial.
Mm-hmm.
So she never does anything nice for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came to visit us and used some of my wife's moisturizing lotion and flipped her shit.
Mm-hmm.
This was fancy moisturizing lotion that I had bought my wife as a gift. Special occasion moisturizing lotion. But my mother-in-law just never used anything other than Eucerin, which there's no problem with Eucerin. That's what I use
Eucerin's
myself.
Eucerin's not bad.
That's a quality lotion. But this is a beautiful smelling, beautifully packaged lotion.
Mm-hmm.
And
here's something fun about me, guys. I don't like having lotion on me.
You don't like it?
Feels weird.
No matter what? Don't you ever get ashy?
Have fun having dry skin.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the downside is I have dry skin. There's a Gold Bond lotion that I will tolerate when there's like a patch that's getting out of control.
But only on your balls?
Oh, yeah. Only in the balls and the ball adjacent areas.
Yeah, in those tingle positive areas?
Yeah, sure. Some place with a lot of nerve endings, you know.
So I ordered...
Got to get those good nerve endings.
I ordered some of this moisturizing lotion from a place called Santa Maria Novella, an Italian personal goods company. And the things they have are like the most beautiful smelling and looking thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they cost...
Good for your mistress.
Yeah.
Is that the tagline?
And it costs like $50. Like, it doesn't matter what you're buying.
I'm spreading the racism out towards Italians, too, by the way.
It's absurdly expensive, whatever it is you buy. Mm-hmm. So it's like one of those things that you're only going to buy when you really want to make a point of like, this is the specialist, most beautiful, perfect thing of this thing. It's not like what you use every day. And I bought it. And then I bought my wife some hand cream.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she's not listening to this.
Oh boy! This is the podcast that ruined Christmas.
But my wife has very sensitive skin, and she's been having trouble with, Los Angeles is very dry, especially in winter, and she's been having problems with like cracking, like painful stuff on her skin, on her hands. So I bought her some hand lotion. I'm like, you know, she deserves. If anyone deserves a gift of $37 hand lotion, it's my wife. You know,
I'll agree to that.
It's going
to
be a very lotiony Christmas.
So I get the package in the mail. It only has hand lotion in it.
Oh, my God.
So then I emailed them and they emailed me back basically saying like, oh, yeah, we didn't have any of the
other Italian
ones.
We were too drunk.
Sorry if this is an inconvenience. I'm like,
we were too busy doing a mob hit.
Yeah.
Now I have to think of a new present. I'm leaving for the Bay Area for Christmas in 2 days.
Mm.
That's where I'm at.
Boy.
I really got fucked by the Santa Maria Novella company.
Is there
a beautiful store? Is literally the most beautiful store I've ever been into. In
Man, they just lost my business.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to buy a bunch of Jackoff cream from them.
God, they have a gorgeous natural Jackoff cream.
Yeah, it is sandalwood.
No, it's actually pomegranate.
You get some antioxidants through it too.
Exactly, and there's a little bit of bay lime also.
Sure, it's like a superfood for your dick.
Yeah. Well, Jordan, I use it. Do you see me getting dick cancer?
You know what? As far as I know, you do not have dick cancer.
Yeah, take that, free radicals.
Sure.
You want a few free radicals in your dick for potency.
Yeah. I'm just really, really worried that my dick contains toxins, so I try
Right, sure.
Trying to clear them out of there pretty regularly.
Do you have a dick sauna?
I mean, I probably should.
The best way to make an affordable dick sauna is just to build a small cedar box and put it on top of a tea kettle.
I mean,
flop your member into there.
I do periodically go to the area of town where there's a lot of Hasidic Jews, and I have a dick schwitz.
Okay, so you have a dick schwitz. Okay,
is that the same thing?
Yeah, because they're both fun words to say involving steam.
Yeah.
Yeah, or heat. Mm-hmm. Is a schwitz a dry heat or a wet heat?
Hard to say.
Yeah.
It's not something I actually did. It was just a joke, so.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what goes into a schwitz.
And you're also very anti-Semitic.
Yes, extremely.
Well-known anti-Semite.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've covered all that territory.
So is there – so, okay, you can't get you can't get the Italian stuff in time, but you did mention that the mother-in-law is only used to using the bargain basement – lotion.
So could take an empty bottle of the Italian stuff for my wife,
right,
fill it with Eucerin?
Sure.
She won't know the difference.
I was going to say, or is there something that is, you know, between bargain basement and, you know, Italian overseas stuff that would be just as good?
The thing is like my feeling about that is if you're giving a gift and you're going to give something as pedestrian as lotion,
sure,
it has to be the really special one. Mm-hmm. Or else just give somebody a gift card to Macy's. You know what I mean?
Well, Pert Plus makes a body lotion now.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Is it just expanding. Lotion or is it lotion and conditioner?
It's a 4-in-1. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It shampoos, it conditions,
right,
it washes.
And it's good for jacking off?
And it's,
yeah.
Well, I guess it's a 5-in-1 then. But.
Gene, you have a big family. How do you deal with Christmas giving? Do you guys get everybody a present or do you get assigned?
No, we made a no giving gifts to each other ordinance a few years ago, and it was like the best thing that ever happened.
None at all?
Well,
so your parents don't even get you a Christmas gift?
No, my parents will like, it's weird to like sneak me a Christmas gift.
Big Gene O'Neill, which is your dad's name.
Yeah, Big Gene O'Neill will slip me a wad of cash and be like, there you go. Like, don't tell your brothers and sisters. But then I found out he does that with all of us.
We should mention that Gene's dad is a Boston Irish gangster.
Yeah, he was Whitey Bulger's right-hand man. But then it got like, I did this thing where I would give people books from my library, like just books I'd already read. So it's just like, okay, I'm not paying for a gift, but here's a gift. And then my brothers and sisters just started like buying gifts. So now I'm like the only like deadbeat who doesn't.
Oh, so you're still just giving away books you don't want that you were ahead of the still goodwill.
The things I couldn't get rid of at
the Da Vinci
yard
Code
sale.
Again.
Well, it's the you know, paperback cover this time, so
yeah.
It's not as ponderous.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I never read the Da Vinci Code, just staring at that thing. How am I going to get through this tome?
I know. So tomatic.
When you're trying to, like, lift it at eye level on the bus to show people that you're reading it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's part of why you get the Da Vinci Code.
Why you get the Da Vinci Code,
one, to, like, experience the amazing world, but also to let people know that you're, you know.
You read big books.
You're a bookie.
Yeah.
Like a foodie, but for books. And someone who can organize illegal bets.
Have I ever talked about the time that when I worked at Borders in Washington, D.C., I had this boss. I had just gotten hired. And he pulled me into the back room, and he was giving me this speech about how everyone at Borders loves books. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's great. I mean, I like books too, you know? Like, I like books. And he said, you know, and books are like really like they're really special objects in all of our lives, you know? Like, this is something that we define ourselves by.
Sure.
And I'm like, wow.
I mean,
yeah.
And if this store ever closed, I'd probably kill myself. But that won't happen.
So he's giving me this whole story about how
sure.
how beautiful books are, how important they are, how important they are to him. And he says, like me, for example, I'm actually a book collector.
Mm.
And he turns and indicates in the back wall of his office.
He points to the rest of the store and says, this is my collection.
I allow people to buy from it because I am magnanimous. I'm John Borders, president of Borders.
We're in his office, and he turns and indicates the back wall of his office where he has one bookshelf that has maybe 15 books on it. And he says, this is my collection of first edition James Patterson novels.
And he just keeps them in the store?
Yes, he has a personal collection of James Patterson novels, novels that are literally not even written by the man whose name is on the cover, that he keeps in his office at the bookstore.
Well, they're inspired by James Patterson. The Bible wasn't written by God.
Sure, you know. These are James Patterson's agents on Earth.
Do you believe
he speaks through them?
Do you believe in direct revelation of James Patterson novels?
But I mean, you know, I don't want to imply anything about, you know, your boss, but
yeah.
You know, you get a wide-eyed.
Yes, he was a very small gay African-American man. I'm sure that's exactly what you were picturing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when I think of the James Patterson audience.
What's his name? I can't remember what his name was. But yeah, he was a nice guy.
You get a wide-eyed...
Like, James Patterson novels? At least, can we at least get, like, you know, Stephen King novels? Like, ones that are good within the context of the thing that they are?
Does anyone do the signing at the James Patterson? Like, is there ever a James Patterson book signing? Who signs?
Oh, yeah.
Is it like Dave, where Kevin Kline just looks kind of like him?
Just
and
the guy
up?
From the office.
We need you to be James Patterson.
Yeah, those are some big shoes to fill.
It's just a different guy who has books published with his name on the cover that doesn't write them. Like with the time that Richard Scarry saves not writing all of the Richard Scarry Busy Town books, he goes from town to town signing books as James Patterson.
Was there once in a, like, there was a book that he actually wrote, though, right? It wasn't just like,
Richard
hey, here's a
name.
No,
Patterson.
James Patterson. Or did publishers be like, here is a name that people will trust?
I think James Patterson wrote some books. He wrote his books for a while. But it's been a while since he has been the primary author of his books. Okay. Like, he publishes at this point, like, 8 books a year.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's totally still alive.
What the fuck?
I know.
Pick up a pen. James
but, you
Patterson.
Know, people want more. They want to check in more frequently with his beloved characters, like Spy Man.
Yeah, and Virtuous Lawyer.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
assume
one presumes one. Sensual Dracula.
Yeah, sure.
Tom Clancy is the same, right? I don't think he writes
Sniper
his own
Angel.
Books anymore.
I don't know.
Tom Clancy's dead, though. I think.
Yeah,
but Tom Clancy dead?
I think nobody knows.
Right.
His ship went down, but they never recovered the body. So
he could just be on a nuclear submarine on a particularly long deployment.
Yeah, novels are still coming out by him, so.
By Tom Clancy?
Yeah, I think he's alive.
I read it.
He's still releasing video games.
I read The Hunt for Red October.
I played Rainbow Six.
Yeah, so there you go. We're both basically Tom Clancy.
He does all
experts.
The motion capture for those games, right? Like, he goes and puts on the suit.
He puts
like
on
every digital character you see in the Rainbow Six game is literally Tom Clancy.
Yeah, and they'll all be wearing, like, full, like, camo body armor, but then, like, a USS Marine hat.
But it's something, it's something that he's done since the Hunt for Red October movie.
Sure.
Where he actually went into Industrial Light and Magic dressed as a nuclear submarine.
Right.
Did the mocap.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense in those games. I mean, I'm just thinking about it now. When you, every time you kill a guy, when he dies, he yells, Tom Clancy is cool. So people think that he's cool.
And it works.
I think he's cool.
I think he's pretty cool.
I have a fond opinion of the man.
It is a great last thing to say before you kill somebody.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of samples and getting them at Costco, I was in the Trader Joe's yesterday.
Seamless segue.
Thank you. Hey, remember a couple minutes ago?
You were in the Trader Joe's yesterday, and you were embroidering all the letters of the alphabet and your name and the date. Oh, sorry. I'm thinking of samplers. Go ahead.
What?
Samplers. That's like an embroidery where you embroider all the letters of the alphabet. And yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Okay, sorry. I apologize.
Hey, very funny. there's the one sample zone in Trader Joe's. And,
yeah.
And
is it Trader Joe's? I thought it was Trader's Joe.
No, you're thinking of Carl's Jr. and Surgeons General.
All right. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. It's his. It's his outpost.
Yeah, okay. So you're at Trader
Joe's. Yeah, I think more than one... Trader Joe's is Trader's Joe.
So you thought Trader's Joe's, you were thinking maybe the store was named after a group of traders who weren't named Joe but had an essential Joe quality.
We are the Trader's Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe it started as like a coffee shop, you
right.
know, for traders. Trader's Joe.
Yeah.
Got it.
I thought it was traitor Joe's for a while. I thought he was traitorous to his country.
It was started by a guy who had smuggled in from Russia some pictures of some peppermint sandwich cookies on microfilm.
He set up a nice little grocery store.
Yeah,
gives good health benefits apparently. Oftentimes
keep out those unions.
Oftentimes there's a little lineup at the sample zone, and I was in Trader Joe's by the sample zone, and there were these two, this kind of middle aged couple, and they were talking to kind of a young, like the babe type. And they were clearly like
a
new
babe type,
a babe
like
type.
A pig.
I'm talking like an attractive woman.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who could maybe
so like a baseball slugger?
yeah, like a real bambino. She got those big bambinos.
Got it. like a legendary lady golfer of the 1930s. That's Babe Didrikson Zaharias.
That's the one.
Yeah,
that's the one. And so I got the sense that they like knew each other before this, like they
the couple,
the couple knew each other from having been married for 10 years, like they all knew each other and were just kind of like chit chatting,
maybe from swinging,
maybe from the world of key parties,
mm-hmm.
Or just Trader Joe's sample zones. I know are
yeah,
a community
like
under themselves,
beds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody like calls each other when the new risotto comes out and.
Yeah.
You line up. It's like Star Wars. You know, you dress up as your favorite Trader Joe's food item.
Yeah. I myself will wear a squash lasagna sampler costume.
Sure.
They were to a point where conversation had, like, run out. Like, they still wanted to get the sample, but didn't want to just, like, stand quietly by each other. And so the man of the couple says to the babe type, so what are you doing for work these days? And she goes, magician's assistant. They just keep. He doesn't ask her anything else about that.
What follow-up could you possibly have?
What's it like? What do you wear? What kinds of tricks? Do you really disappear? I can think of some.
Well, they can't reveal any secrets, so really.
Oh, yeah.
What
I guess
can you talk
your
about
SOL.
Him?
Yeah. Is the magician nice?
Have you sucked his dick?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Do you think magicians and magician's assistants have a cool professional relationship or a hot, sensuous relationship?
Well, I mean, you know.
Jordan, you were a magician's assistant.
Well,
how
yeah.
often did you fuck your boss?
Quite frequently. I don't know. It's a good, you know, it could be one of those things where, you know, you leave it out all out on stage.
Right.
You know, I think kind of the old, not adage, but the old thing that people say is that, you know, when you see an on-screen couple and they're actually married, there's no heat on the screen because it's all back home in the bedroom.
Right.
So maybe that.
Although I like to think that Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen give the lie to that.
Oh,
one.
Boy.
Sure, yeah.
Jeez. Anytime the two of them are
on screen,
I am hard as a diamond.
Off screen.
Bring some towels.
On stage. On film.
Can I get some Eucerin over here?
Yeah.
Jesse, get yourself the good stuff when it's Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can use whatever when you're cranking it to Danny DeVito and
Rhea
Perlman. That's when you slather on the Eucerin.
Oh, it's electric.
But when a nice couple of fillies like that. You're going to want to get the Italian stuff.
A couple of nice
fillies.
Like a Ted Danson.
What a nice filly.
Like a nice Felicity Huffman and a Bill Macy.
Ooh, you put on the good stuff. What were we talking about?
Give me that a nice jack off a cream.
Oh, do I think that magicians and a magician's assistants fuck?
Yeah.
I think
Jordan,
that,
please, make love.
Sorry, yeah. I bet you if you see a magician's performance and it's very sensual,
right.
I bet that is an indicator that they have not fucked.
Can I ask you, if it's
flat and listless,
oh.
I bet they are going at it.
A lot of sleight of cock going on backstage.
Sure.
Can I ask you sort of a second tier question?
Please.
Do you think there are magicians
mm-hmm.
who are not virgins?
Oh, no, yeah, all magicians are virgins. So, yeah, I guess that just kind of eradicates the whole argument.
Got it. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
La 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 la
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Hal, and we're the hosts of We Got This,
the show that offers definitive answers to dumb debates that you suggest.
Every Wednesday, we discuss the hot-button topics you never knew you cared so much about, like whether you should put ketchup on a hot dog.
What's the best Star Wars movie?
Whether it's better to be too hot or too cold.
Coke or Pepsi?
Best Marvel movie.
Which is the best religion?
I told you we're not doing that one.
So join us every week on MaximumFun.org, and don't worry, everyone. We got this.
We got this.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
Big time, Gene O'Neill.
Wait a minute. I'm changing my nickname.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Peabody Locke,
mm-hmm.
Jesse Thorne.
Nice.
You would think it would be for my NPR show Bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's because I'm one of the stars of History Channel's Christmas Through the Decades.
It's one of the finest seasonal talking heads programs around, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I said to them, if you can get Brian McKnight, I'm in. They got Brian McKnight, and I was in.
You're not settling for a lesser new kid on the block.
They told me they had Mr. Belding. Mm. They told me they had one of the Brady daughters.
And how many times have you heard that?
I know. They told me they had Mike Pesca. You know what? I emailed with Mike Pesca. I didn't know Mike Pesca. Mike Pesca is in this weird History Channel Talking Head special that I'm in. I did not know he was in it until he saw it on TV and saw me in it and emailed me. Our friend Mike Pesca from The Gist, the Slate podcast, wonderful show. And Mike, I said to Mike, yeah, that was a weird way to make $500, right? And Mike emailed me back, wait, you got paid? Yeah, Mike needs a better agent.
Do you think the Peabody Committee has started recognizing Talking Head specials?
Yeah, well, I mean, so it's one of those things where certainly there are people who were ahead of the curve, even great people who made great contributions. I mean, they were pretty focused on shows like Frontline back when Michael Ian Black and Doug Benson were at their peak.
Sure.
But I think that now that it is a deeply beloved genre of television, you know,
history of Christmas shows,
just shows where fun minor celebrities riff on hot topics in popular culture and fond memories, warm and fond memories. Like, remember when Simon was a thing that you push the buttons and it makes the lights?
Oh yeah.
They were pretty disappointed that I didn't remember any of the things from the 70s, but I wasn't alive in that decade.
Sure.
So I didn't know what to tell them. I said, I'll say some things about them, but I don't remember
them. I have heard that
you're gonna have
Dukes
to go to
of Hazzard were something.
You're going to have to go to Brian McKnight on this one.
Yeah.
McKnight's, I am not a crook, right, guys?
Yeah, you said it. Brian McKnight's legendary catchphrase. It's actually, girl, I am not a crook.
Girl, I'm not a crook.
Yeah.
Then Mr. Belding said, sock it to me.
Jordan, what's your gift-giving situation this holiday season?
Yeah, so, you know, a small family, so we each get each other a gift or two apiece. And I had a I'm on a, like, an iMessage chain with some dudes. You know, some dudes I know.
Right.
And we decided to do a gift exchange this year.
Donny Deutsch.
Yeah. We decided to do a gift exchange this year. $500 limit. And
$1
minimum. $1
minimum,
$500 limit. And, you know, it was really fun. And I think
it's an MSNBC, CNBC
right.
Chain, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's me, Kramer, and
the sharks,
his inflatable
from the shark
cow.
Tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you've never had to buy from Mr. Wonderful,
yeah.
Then I mean, he is the man who literally has everything,
right?
And I got
is that one of the guys from the Fantastic Four?
Oh, Mr. Wonderful is one of the sharks from the Shark Tank.
Oh, his name is Mr. Wonderful.
This is not his given
name. I've never seen Shark Tank. Yeah. I know that it's a very popular cultural phenomenon.
I've seen a couple of Shark Tanks, and one of them is called Mr. Wonderful. I think
it's Mark Cuban.
Okay,
Mark Cuban is Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
The owner of the Dallas Mavericks
yeah,
and Dish Network?
I think so, yeah.
It's wait, HD Net. That's what he owns.
Well, it's like you've never seen Mark Cuban and Mr. Wonderful together in the same spot. So people think it's him.
So basically, Mr. Wonderful is Mark Cuban with a cape and a codpiece.
Yeah.
Got it. Not that he needs it. Mark Cuban's kind of monster schmuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mark Cuban, he can only wear those cod pieces for a certain amount of time before the cock bursts its way out.
That guy literally uses an entire bottle of Eucerin every time he wants to jack off.
Sure.
That's how he got rich.
By doing jack-off shows. Like jacking off and making people pay him? Or selling the ejaculate? How did he make the money?
I don't know. I got to reread his biography. That's what I got out of it, though.
You might have missed some things.
I remember there was
some of the pages were stuck together.
Something about jacking off and something about Dirk Nowitzki. And I don't remember anything else.
Yeah. I came home and, we're all kind of in town, so I got mine hand-delivered. On my porch before I got into my house, it's a metal Star Wars lunchbox. Opened it up, filled with pot. It was great. It's the best fucking Christmas gift in history.
Was it $500 worth of pot?
I don't know how much money it was.
Was
worth.
It half an ounce?
I mean, that seems like a lot of pot.
I bet it was $100 worth of pot.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how much the lunchbox cost.
Man, what's that worth on the street?
Oh, I don't know. The lunchbox? I think it depends if Target sold out of them.
Yeah.
I bet I could go to Target with that lunchbox like Christmas Eve and just hang around outside. It's like, hey.
One time somebody put
What if he gave you the wrong lunchbox? Like that lunchbox
I will also entertain that nobody on the iMessage chain has fessed up to who it was yet, so it could have been for one of my neighbors, who's a drug dealer and Star Wars fan.
So, like, you think, Gene, your theory is that there were two lunchboxes they got mixed up.
I have a second lunchbox theory.
So the pot lunchbox was supposed to be for the gifter, and Jordan's lunchbox was supposed to be full of heroin?
Yeah, or bologna sandwiches, maybe.
Heroin and bologna.
I was supposed to get a Mad Max thermos filled with cocaine, but he switched it with a Star Wars lunchbox filled with
cocaine. I mean, if these guys are your friends, they know that you're an uppers guy, not a downers guy.
But, I mean, I think part of gift giving is to, broaden people's horizons. Like, here's something that you might want to try. Maybe you wouldn't buy it for yourself, but
what kind of Star Wars lunchbox was it?
This was New Hope.
Okay.
So original trilogy.
Original Star Wars.
Original trilogy. Yeah.
I would have gone with TIE Fighter. Remember that game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
That was fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun. You got to be a spaceship.
I think that's non-canonical now.
What?
I know.
Yeah, it was canonical before?
I think it was canonical.
The narrative was...
Sure, the official Star Wars.
That's Jesse on his 386-40 at home?
Yeah. Yeah. George Lucas signed off on that. That all happened until recently.
That's why every time you watch the movie, it's a different kid.
Right.
Is that why there was that whole part in... there was that whole part in episode 2... Was it where things started getting blocky and moving slowly, and then a hand reached down and pressed the turbo button?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got it.
That was because that was actually happening.
Got it.
Yeah. So, pretty good gift as far as Secret Santas go.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is there anything you're hoping to get from your family members? Just more pot or?
Yeah, hopefully. Well,
From your trombone-playing, church-going stepfather, your lawyer sister.
Yeah, hopefully they can score some of the good stuff.
Lactation counselor mother.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they have access to all sorts of drugs.
Oh, yeah, like a Nurse Betty type situation.
Oh, yeah, maybe some nice hospitalies.
Yeah. Is Nurse Betty what I'm thinking of?
I don't know.
Is that the TV show on Showtime?
I think it's a TV show on Showtime.
Okay.
Is that involved in medication
smuggling?
What's
the one that's a movie with Morgan Freeman and Chris Rock?
Kiss of Death.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So we're all set.
We're all in line. And I had a little bit of a disappointing office Secret Santa situation.
Oh, let's have
it. Why did Matt Myra get you?
Well, I got office Secret Santas can go a lot of ways. I got something. It was a car mount for a cell phone.
Uh-huh. Chris Hardwick gave you Hearst Castle.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. he should have known I wanted the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. I'd been dropping hints. And I think it was just I have this laying around and I've wrapped it up situation.
He basically took a shit in a box.
Yeah.
He said,
yeah,
Merry
basically.
Christmas.
Yeah. And, you know, like, obviously those Secret Santa things, you know, sometimes you don't know the people in the office. But you know, I think that there were a lot of people who went out of their way to be a little creative. And I think, you know, I think mine
didn't,
you
go
know,
out
didn't
of
quite
right,
rise to
all.
The occasion. And I think it let it – I think I let it
– He went on his way.
Yeah.
On his way, he picked that up.
But I think the box of pot – made up for it. So,
what did you get from your office, Secret Santa? Just an At Midnight mug, or
oh no, a car mount for a cell phone.
Wow,
that's
terrible.
Yeah. It is bad.
That's genuinely
it is
awful.
Bad. I mean,
is it a really dope car mount?
I mean, it's a.
Does it have bad Bots Maru on it?
No, I don't think it has anything. It's anything out. No defining characteristics other than being a car mount.
By the way, that's how I'm actually a professional car mount reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
And we rate them generally on a scale of no bad Bots Maru to has a bad Bots Maru. Sure.
I love your YouTube videos where you open your new car mount box.
Yeah.
And say whether or not it has bad Bots Maru on it.
And this one doesn't have bad Bots Maru.
This one only has Karopi.
Ooh, it's a cute frog.
The new shit in the world of Sanrio,
uh-huh.
is this egg who looks like he's depressed.
What?
Have you seen this depressed
no.
egg? So I think the Sanrio has branched out from Hello Kitty and, you know, other animal characters.
Most of what I know about Sanrio personally mm-hmm. comes from, in college, some friends and I would go to the peninsula mm-hmm. for pho.
Yeah.
To like Sunnyvale or something like that. And
I think I went on a few of those peninsula runs.
Yeah, he went on a couple pho runs.
Yeah.
I mean, I never heard about it, but I mean, like they say, what happens on the peninsula?
And there was a huge stationery store there. And that's where I learned a lot about Sanrio characters mm-hmm. and about non-Sanrio, Sanrio-like characters. Mm.
Non-canonical Sanrio characters.
Yeah, there was a bear whose catchphrase was "We are nice, we like Storaberry," mm-hmm.
and then TIE Fighter, of course.
And TIE Fighter.
Yeah,
yeah. That was a frog.
So, from what I understand, Sanrio now the hot. What's paying the bills these days
right.
is food with faces.
Uh huh.
There's a slice of salmon that has a non-salmon little body. So the slice of salmon is the head, and it walks around on a tiny body.
Like the Hamburglar? Wait, not the Hamburglar. Who's Mayor McCheese?
Yeah, it is kind of like Mayor McCheese, right. Some of him is human, but most of him is
salmon.
An anthropomorphic,
is it
sexualized
raw?
Fish.
Is it raw or cooked salmon?
It looks raw, but this does not have a lot of detail in it. So.
And you're sure it's salmon? It's not like sashimi or something? It's not tuna or albacore?
I was under the impression it was salmon. It might not be.
Is it possible it's albacore?
Could be.
Okay.
I think the coloring suggests salmon.
Chilean sea bass?
I don't know. Listen, maybe we'll look. I know we got a replacement.
Christian's
got a replacement.
It up for
okay,
us right
thank
now.
You. But I think the new one that is the most popular, from what I understand, is a cracked egg that has a face in the yolk, and the face is always looking like he wishes he was dead. He does not like his life.
No, that's just Gary Busey. You're describing Gary
Busey.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
But you can't buy stationery and pencil sharpeners.
Are you sure you're not just
right?
looking inside a cracked egg and seeing your own reflection?
Oh, could be. Maybe, yeah. Maybe I need to look at some stuff.
Staring into the abyss of the cracked egg.
Happy Bear Man. That's
yeah.
who was nice and liked Storaberry. Happy Bear Man.
Man,
we're nice. We like Storaberry.
Every time I see this egg character, he just bums me out.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway.
This got to be rough for you, Jordan.
But, I mean, I guess thinking back...
Bad, you love bad. The world of Sanrio.
I do. I'm always hanging out in those stores.
Yeah.
It's a great way to meet teens.
It's the only way you can get
for
hard.
For friendship. But yeah, I guess now that I think about it, Bad Bots Maru didn't seem to like his life either. So.
Is Bad Bots Maru old news now?
I think so. I have not seen a Bad Bots Maru in I mean, years, since high school.
Bad Bots Maru, that's my boy.
Sure.
That's my boy.
Your Sanrio
Him and
boy.
Snorlax.
Yeah.
That's like my top two dudes.
Cool.
Snorlax is my top from the Pokemon universe.
So you like grumpy anime characters.
Bad Bots Maru is my top character from the Sanrio universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then those children dying of radiation poisoning
sure,
are my favorites from the
Grave
of Fireflies
universe. Sure.
I'm more of a thalidomide guy in that universe.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morse, boy detective.
Big time, Gene O'Neill.
Hey, I would like to issue a thank you to Laura from Clinton, Massachusetts, who sent us a weird, probably poisoned box full of things from Massachusetts.
Okay.
We got some salsa from Concord, Massachusetts.
Well, Massachusetts, known for its Mexican food.
Some maple popcorn from Lowell, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Of course, the maple popcorn capital of places other than Vermont. Honey sticks from Sudbury, Massachusetts. Some candies from Lawrence, Massachusetts. Some dog treats that are from New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whatever. They're political independents. They're like moderate Republicans. I don't know a lot about New Hampshire. Some vegetarian bacon bits. Those are for Carrie from Ono. There's some several presents for Carrie from Ono, Ross, and Carrie as well in this box. She also packed it with popcorn, literal popcorn.
Wow.
It's just gross.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's been in
it's
the mail
fun,
for a long
time.
Well,
you get to, you get to eat.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you can eat it, Gene.
Well, it's just, it's frustrating to get like a package in the mail and you, you know, you can't like eat the sort of protective insulation, you know?
I eat it. You don't ever eat those bubble things that Amazon shit comes with?
No, it's bad for my teeth.
Oh, yeah.
We got a couple other packages here. Should I open them up?
Yeah, sure. Open it up.
This is from the return address Freeburg from Vermont.
I haven't gotten a single...
Careful, Jordan. You don't know that that's not a boxing glove on a spring.
Yeah. I haven't gotten a single family Christmas card from a person I don't know at all yet.
What
year.
The fuck?
Usually every year I get thoughtful but also creepy pictures of other people's families who I don't know. It's nice of them to include me on their Christmas card list because they enjoy the show or whatever. But it's weird to have a picture of someone's family that you don't know.
Are you sure you're not just taking the neighbor's mail?
Oh, you know what? That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Should I not have spent those those 20s?
So here's from Michael Freeburg. There's a postcard on here with a picture of Jeffrey Tambor on it.
He is.
That sounds like a nice postcard.
Dear Jordan and Jesse, thanks for the countless hours of free content. Just in case you feel like being sad, here are a few copies of a newspaper I made about Syrian refugees in Jordan. Great. Anyway, it's probably...
Well, I mean, if we get sad, we can just look at that picture of Jeffrey Tambor. Think about how great he is on Transparent.
He is very good on Transparent.
He's so good on Transparent. He's fucking amazing.
Have you seen the recent episode where he says Yas Queen?
He says that?
Yes!
I haven't seen that.
Have you started season two?
I used to watch episode one of season two, but he didn't say Yas Queen.
Well, it might be in episode two or three, but it is. Think of how good you think that is going to be.
Right.
It's way better.
Holy shit.
Anyway, thank you, Michael, for the wonderful picture of Jeffrey Tambor and with the I'm guessing, good work you're doing with Syrian refugees.
It seems likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's making that newspaper about him.
Sure.
This is a bubble package.
Yeah, boy, this is really
wrapped
up.
That someone has thoughtfully wrapped completely in packing tape. Very difficult to open. Really struggling. If only we had a producer who could run and grab some scissors right now.
By the way, if the internet has not gotten on the Jeffrey Tambor Yas Queen gif yet, and I'm sure it has.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know, it would be surprising if they hadn't. But if for some reason they've dropped the ball, guys, ultimate gif.
You could make some gifs of other memorable moments of from that show, like when every other single character on it is a self-centered asshole that you want to punch.
Like when Josh blows it again.
Oh, fucking break, Josh.
Fucking Josh. Oh, this is from the Wallace family from Houston, Texas. They have a nice little cartoon picture of them
on
really their return address label.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Christian got up as though he was going to go get some scissors and then came back with nothing. She's like, oh, I better go get some scissors.
You and Gene want to vamp?
Well, we are vamping. I'm complaining about Christian not getting sick. You literally are having to tear this entire piece of tape off of this.
Use your teeth.
No, I just got some work done.
Man, this better be a good gift.
Yeah, right. If this is bad. Yeah. Buah. Hua. Oh, it's wrapped up within the thing, too.
This is just a Russian nesting doll of
nice
wrapping.
Bow. Okay, let's see.
This one was addressed just to you, right?
It was, yes. Jordan, getting a head start for Jordan v. Jesse calendar challenge. Happy, happy joy, Shannon Wallace. What is the calendar challenge?
Well, I think the calendar challenge is where I talk about the bunny calendar that Teresa gets me, and you are upset by that.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
Traditionally.
Well, I hope you like hearing about yoga kittens, because I've got the 2016 yoga kitten calendar.
Oh, that sounds good.
Right in my hot little hands.
Va-va-voom.
Guys, I'm going to need a little, I'm going to leave some lotion in here. I'm going to need some time to masturbate to these cats. Oh, okay.
What kind of positions are they doing?
So first.
Downward kitten.
First.
Downward facing cat.
Yeah. Sleep in a sunbeam.
Uh-huh.
And couch ruin. January, I won't go through the whole year because that'd be redundant, but the first one here is Adelaide, Lord of the Dance, Natasharanya, stretch the shoulders and chest, thighs, and abdomen, strengthen the legs and ankles, improves balance.
It seems cruel to make a kitten do an actual yoga pose.
This is like a...
They're all dead, this is my understanding.
This is a not that elegant Photoshop job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very cute. But the cat has clearly not done anything like this.
Well, I'm not trying to shit on yoga kittens.
No.
And the last thing I would ever do is say anything bad about a bunny calendar.
Sure.
But the new shit is goats and trees calendars.
Oh, goats and trees. Yeah.
Because it's dope. You won't believe how you won't believe the fucking branches that a goat could stand on.
Oh, they're in the trees?
Yeah, it's wild.
How do they do that?
They're super good climbers, dude.
I think that's Photoshop.
Nah,
a goat can't climb a tree.
Goats love climbing trees.
You put
that's
a can up there,
do.
they will make it their business to get up in that tree because yeah. Those motherfuckers love to eat cans. Thanks, guys. Great gifts.
Let's say you see a goat in a tree. Something else momentous happens to you. We ask you to call us for our segment, Momentous Occasions. Our number, 206-984-4FUN. 206-984-4FUN. Let's take our first call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, guest. This is Arlo from Baltimore calling in with a momentous occasion. So I was driving in northern Baltimore City in kind of a rough neighborhood and pulled up to a red light behind a police car. And so there's a perp in the back, two cops in the front, pretty standard. Then I see that on top of the car, clear as day, is a huge Ziploc bag filled with what I assumed and still assume was either heroin or crack vials, one of the two, probably like 50 or 100 of them, it seemed, lots of them. So they're driving around with this bag of evidence on top of the car, I guess forgot to grab it before they left or whatever. And I was going to get out and tell them before the light changed, but I don't think, especially now, cops are big fans of people walking up to their car windows, especially just at random times and in traffic. And it would have been a snitch move anyway. So anyway, I'm not sure how far the police station was, but that thing was definitely going to slide off where whenever they turn next. I had to turn at the next light to visit my grandma, so I didn't see what happened. But anyway, it was a very lucky day for some local drug addict or for another drug dealer, I guess, and obviously for the perp.
Jesus Christ, turn it off, Christian. Yeah, keep it pithy, sir. Keep it pithy.
Yeah, boy, you know.
I mean, pranked by some fun cops who put a fake set of vials of crack on top of their car. And when anyone pointed to it, they lifted up a sign that said, you just got pranked.
Cop pranked.
Yeah, cop pranked.
You know, pranked. I mean, I think in the cops.
This is a hit YouTube show that this guy just participated in.
Yeah,
cop
I mean,
pranks.
The cops have had a tough year. You know, it's been a bad year for, you know. Police
they could use some good PR.
Yeah, I mean, I think some, like, delightful, fun YouTube pranks would, like, really help that.
Yeah.
Really, you know, would change their image from, you know, monsters to, you know, just, like, fun japesters.
Yeah, like, what if there was a young African-American man mm-hmm. running from a police officer in a grainy dash cam footage?
Sure.
That you clicked on Twitter, mm-hmm. and it turned out that they shot that kid 50 times, but with silly string.
That'd be a lot of fun.
It would be really fun, and it'd be social commentary too, mm-hmm. Jordan. I'm nothing if not a social
satirist. Just those flags that say bang on them came out.
Oh, and then just traumatized the kid.
Yeah, but then real bullets come out after that.
So they would actually shoot him afterwards. Or so I mean, it if would they be actually, an example of yeah, police yeah. brutality.
Or, I mean, if they just, like, I mean, it could just be them injecting, like, fun catchphrases, you know, into their regular brutality. Like,
okay, so they would be brutalizing someone.
Yeah, and then they say, you know, bye, Felicia.
Yas queen.
You're Yas queen. You know, just something fun.
Are you gonna shoot that young unarmed man? Mm-hmm. Yas queen.
Yas queen.
Yas.
Mm-hmm.
See, I already feel like I could relate to these cops more. They talk just like me.
Well, like, they get memes. Yeah. Sure. I really like to think of myself like my cultural background is internet culture.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So yes, I do speak meme.
These are my people.
Yeah. I'm also a white supremacist.
Sure.
So those are the two
who
things.
Likes memes?
Yeah.
A weird
Will
little...
there be a Rahowa? Yas queen.
Not that I'm equating Republicans and white supremacists,
right.
but your white supremacy remark made me think of a Ted Cruz fan page I went to recently.
On StormNet?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So Ted Cruz has a Facebook page where people are making memes dedicated to him.
Uh-huh.
It's called Ted Cruz Meme Page.
Oh, good. That's a good name.
Yeah, it's really catchy.
.net.
And they tried to do
somebody squatting on .com.
People only have the most rudimentary idea of what a meme is at this thing.
Right.
Like someone, you know, they've got a. You know, a grandchild that explained it to them or something. But they tried to do most interesting man in the world.
Sean Hannity explained it to them.
Right, sat them down. And then they tried to do most interesting man in the world memes with him. And one of them was just a picture of the most interesting man in the world. And the top text was, I don't always vote for president. Bottom text. But what I do, it is for Ted Cruz because he's the most conservative candidate. Ted Cruz meme page. Look it up. It's great. And that was the most coherent one. Like, that's the one that I can describe because it made kind of a little bit of sense.
God. Memes.
Meme.
Guys, I love memes.
Mm, more.
Viral.
GIFs.
Vines.
Mm-hmm.
My face when.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. You got it.
This is my face when I hear about a new meme.
Looks so similar to your regular face.
Well, because I'm always hearing about new memes.
You always have a constant stream of meme news headed at you.
Can I tell you about an embarrassing moment that kind of happened to me? I was looking at a page of memes, mm-hmm. like in a coffee shop, and like the internet like went out, I guess, or, mm-hmm. you know, and so like a coffee, like a barista walks by and like the beautiful barista that works at the coffee shop. And it's just like, oh, hey, I think the internet's like not working. And she's like, oh, I'll reset it. And then when she comes back, she's like, oh, it's done. I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks. Like, and then I'm like, I have a meme page. Like, thanks. I really have some
I got to get back to work.
Yeah.
I got to find what booty had me like. That's a picture of an owl twisting his head around.
Let's take our next call.
Hey, guys. Ethan from Columbus, Ohio. I was flying through the Atlanta airport. In the bathroom stall next to me was a man ending a long-term relationship by dictating text messages into Siri using full punctuation. He said, I quote, if you don't want to call, don't call, period. Just stop with the lies, period. That is all.
Hmm.
Wow.
Boy.
That's a good one.
How many times have I been in that situation?
Sure.
Yeah.
Taking a shit in the Atlanta airport
and just
breaking up with a long-term girlfriend using Siri.
Mm-hmm. And you're just, you know, and I think that in that moment you're like, nothing would ruin this moment more than a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So I should just nip it in the bud.
Right.
Hmm.
And yeah. If you've already wiped, you don't want to be putting your hands on your phone. So right. You got to go hands-free
yeah,
at
sure.
that point.
Yas queen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's take our next call.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, Sunny D, and esteemed guest. This is Carissa calling from Worcester, Mass. I'm calling in with a momentous occasion / moment of deep, deep shame. I just found out I have fallen victim to the grandma long con. I have lived 25 years thinking that Kenny G and Michael Bolton were brothers. Just brought that little tidbit up in a conversation. Got looked at like I had two heads. Did just a little bit of Googling. Found out I can't trust a goddamn thing that woman ever says again. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Yeah, this bitch got played by her grandma.
Oh, man. Grandma owns.
Grandma's lies about Kenny G had me like. Car crashes into a bear.
I don't always lie about Kenny G.
But
and Michael Bolton's relationship.
But when I do, it's to my granddaughter.
Man, if we could get this grandma, we could get one of those fucking YouTube loans, you know, where they give you a bunch of money in your own channel.
How do you mean?
It would be a prank show hosted by this grandma. It's mostly about Air Jordans.
Sure, yeah, but occasionally
sometimes
she tells
about Disney toys.
She tells you what celebrities are related, and it's like you kind of believe it.
Yeah,
because maybe you don't know too much about them, and they look just enough alike to where it kind of tracks.
No, it's like a grandma, and she has like a she's like kind of cool in sort of a streetwear way, and she's ethnically ambiguous.
Sure.
Are you talking about Larry Johnson when he's grandmama?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like a cool streetwear grandma, like grandmama Larry Johnson from those commercials for sneakers.
NBA great Larry Johnson.
And, you know, they're just hassling cops.
I think that grandma already got signed by Ted Cruz's social media team. Yeah.
Basketball players don't do hilarious commercials that much anymore, right? Do I just not notice them? Because, I mean, I remember Grandmama. I remember when Charles Barkley fought Godzilla.
Yeah.
Is the golden age of hilarious basketball commercials over?
That was the golden age of Nike commercials specifically, right? Like, there was a time when the Wieden and Kennedy, the people who make the I think that's the people who make the Nike commercials. Mm-hmm. They were so on top of the world that they could literally do anything, and the basketball player would agree to it, and Nike would agree to it. Mm-hmm. There was a thing where they dressed giant slugger Kevin Mitchell up like a caveman, and the slogan was "Fee-fi home run."
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Do sports stars just have more dignity now? It's all about, like, the, you know, the passion of the game. Like, that's sports advertising these days is, like, you know, it's supposed to be inspirational.
I think after the NBA's court jester Gilbert Arenas was, like, banned from the sport for bringing a gun to a game, I think nobody wanted to be funny anymore. The humor died.
Yeah. Poor Agent Zero.
Yeah.
Now he has to sit at home lonely playing 1 month a year for a Chinese league team, and the rest of the time just posting weird sexist Instagram posts about how people would like women's basketball more if the chicks were hotter.
That sounds good.
He really did that, right?
Yeah, he did that last week.
Oh.
Do you guys know that speaking
Do you follow Gilbert Arenas on Instagram?
Yeah, that's the only person I follow on Instagram.
And that famous butt woman.
Yeah, and butt lady.
Yeah, yeah. I think the this is something that I peripherally saw and don't know a lot of details of.
Maybe you saw it out of the side of your eye?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I was glancing at this. Did Scott Adams, creator of Dilbert, go on some sort of minimalist rant recently?
Yes. I think Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert, is a men's rights activist.
Does he express this through Dilbert, or is Catbert the kind of voice of the man?
Right, yeah. His Dilbert's new boss, Fedora Man. I don't know. I think it was in like a blog post. I don't think Dilbert was saying, you know,
gender politics haven't been injected yet into it was Dilbert,
yeah,
which
is
strictly a realm of office politics.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That chick with the triangular hair was like, I got divorced from my husband and it was no problem to get custody of the kid because I'm a woman.
Even though I'm unfit.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much how it went down.
Sure. Why am I expected to pay for dinner?
Do you think that's why Bill Waterston hasn't done any Calvin and Hobbes since he retired? It's because he's secretly a men's rights activist?
Oh, I don't know. Well, maybe he just got fed up with all the, like, you know, the boys club politics of the Sunday comic strips.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean that place is a sewer for that stuff.
It really is.
Garfield.
Rhymes with orange.
Sure. Get fuzzy.
The one with the sports guy. that's on the sports page.
Take McNamara.
Take McNamara. What a pile of garbage that is.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, I looked forward to every Tank McNamara comic.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Big time, Gene O'Neill.
Gene, always a joy to have you on the program. Thank you for visiting us.
Always a joy to be here and to be indoors.
Oh, are you living on the streets again?
I mean, I'm staying on the streets.
So it's just a temporary thing?
Yeah.
It's like a staycation?
Yeah.
You're just crashing.
I'm just, you know, it's like those rich kids that, you know, come from like Woodland Hills and... You know, they sort of moonlight.
Are you saying that you're making a documentary like Praz from the Fugees?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. I just don't have a camera.
Got it.
But you're keeping it all up here. Yeah. For when you finally do get a camera, you can just say what happened.
To your credit, though, Gene, you're better at rapping.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. It's a low bar to clear, though.
That's fair. You're no ghetto superstar. Jordan, I feel like it bears mentioning that... Jordan Jesse Groslake is happening.
It's happening.
It is going to go down this week.
This is, for people who do not know, this is something we agreed to during the last pledge drive, probably foolishly.
Yeah,
almost certainly foolishly.
As it turns out.
So if we reached a certain pledge goal, we would do a show, a donors-only show.
Right.
From a boat purchased on Craigslist in MacArthur Park Lake, where a body was found last week.
Yeah, last week.
Oh.
1 week ago, a dead body was found floating in the lake that we're going into.
Hey, that's great. That's some pub right there.
Yeah. Jordan, Jesse, Go, Groslake. Brian and Christian drove down to coastal Orange County to buy a boat for us last week. I had a last-minute engagement, or I would have traveled with them. We purchased a... what's that called?
You had to go to Ventura to buy a pogo stick.
Exactly.
Sorry, guys. I'd love to go with you, but...
we have a beautiful pedal boat.
Mm-hmm.
I think Robin, Smart Bunny, gave it a name on Facebook that I'm going to throw out there and say maybe we should just go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Ship Dipson.
Love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, technically, it's a boat, not a ship, but... You know, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
On Tuesday afternoon, we're going to head down to the lake. If you want to come looky-loo, I don't care. We don't care
come
if
looky-loo.
You come looky-loo. Tuesday at 1, that's when we're going to do it.
Sure.
1 to 3 on Tuesday. Come down to MacArthur Park Lake. We will literally be podcasting from the middle of the lake. If you see the cops, holler hooty-hoo. Because we are not sure that this is legal.
No, this may not be legal. It's all certain probably. I mean, I don't know why it would be legal.
I don't know how you find out if it's legal, you know?
I mean, you just have to do it and then see what happens.
Yeah, see if you get shot with some silly string.
That's how you find out about most laws.
Yeah.
Just break them. Doing it.
Yeah. Just get out there and give it a try.
Just get out there and run from a cop.
Yeah, so it's going down. That's going to appear probably on the donor feed. We're going to make a little video.
Sure.
Friend Jay Frosting is going to make a little video. That'll probably be out there for free. So if you're not already a Max Fund donor, you want to hear us hosting Jordan, Jesse, Go from a boat in MacArthur Park Lake, get on it now.
Yeah, now's the time.
Now's the time to do that to that. MaximumFund.org/donate. If you are, look forward to that. It's going to be in the donor feed in a few weeks. Christian Duenas on the board this week.
Mm-hmm.
MaximumFund.reddit.com, the Reddit.
Had lots of fun stuff there.
100-plus posts last week. Real solid performance for that.
Yeah, lots of fun Mentos mashup videos, Mentos limoncello. Collabs.
Yeah, head to the Reddit or to the Jordan Jesse Go Facebook page if you want to see the Mentos commercials with the soundtrack replaced with us singing the Mentos song. The Mentos commercials with the Danny DeVito's limoncello song playing over them, which is what I had asked for. Us with music singing the Mentos song. All kinds of shit.
Any combination of the three things we talked about last week.
It turns out that the Mentos company is from the Netherlands, and they made those in apartheid South Africa. So,
yeah.
Questions answered. Reach out to the Max Fun community. They deliver. Hashtag it JJGo on Twitter. I'm at Jesse Thorne. Jordan is at Jordan underscore Morris. Gene, who's hilarious on Twitter, is at U-Y-O-U Gene O'Neill. Is there any underscores or anything?
No, it's, yeah, I think that you got it.
Y-O-U Gene O'Neill, O-N-E-I-L-L.
Yeah, people already have given up on typing it out. If you want to extend the disappointment you experienced in listening to this program infinitely on the Twitterverse.
You got to get with that, man.
Follow me on at Eugene O'Neill.
Otherwise, you'll never get to experience Gene's signature wit and, of course, his beloved seasonal shirtings. Christian Duenas on the board this week. Our producer, Brian Sunny D. Fernandez. We'll talk to you next week on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.